What's up, everyone? This is Jamilia from ByteBow, and you're listening to the Barely Legal in Web3 podcast, the show that talks about Web3 in a way that you can understand and highlights some of the barely legal stuff that's happening in the ever-evolving world of crypto, NFTs, and DAOs. On this show, I give you legal analysis and a bit of perspective, along with my amazing guests who are all thriving in these Web3 streets. So if you're ready, let's take a look at what's been barely legal in Web3. Welcome to another episode of Barely Legal in Web3. I am your host, Jamilia Greer, and this week's episode is really going to be a legal deep dive into Voyager. What they are, what happened, what kind of legal mess are they in right now, and what do we think is in store for them? Before I begin, I would just like to say this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This is not legal advice or financial advice. I am not your attorney. There you go. Okay, now that we've gotten the disclaimer out of the way, let's jump right in to this Voyager case. What is going on? First, let's start with the backstory. For those of you that don't know, Voyager is a crypto trading platform. They have an app. Essentially, you can think of them to the likes of Coinbase, where you can purchase different cryptocurrencies. You can trade, you can hold and stake and earn rewards. They have a partnership with Visa. They have a debit card. They have a whole host of features and lovely things that you can do with an account with Voyager. On July 5th, Voyager filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the Southern District of New York. Now, after Voyager filed for this bankruptcy protection, another filing occurred, which was by Celsius Networks. And for those of you that listened to the other episode that I did on why Web3 needs more lawyers, we talked a little bit about Celsius and Voyager.
So a bit of background, Voyager is a US-based company. It is listed on the US Stock Exchange. It was founded actually back in 1993, but it went public much later.
After it was founded, it received a considerable amount of investment over the years. Voyager received about $360 million in terms of investment. So when Voyager filed for bankruptcy, the filing basically stated that it had over 100,000 creditors and that it essentially had assets between $1 billion and $10 billion and liabilities that were approximately like in the same range. So in terms of size and significance, it's pretty considerable. Now, according to Voyager, in several of their press releases, they basically said that it was market conditions as well as a defaulted $650 million loan to Three Arrows Capital, which is a crypto hedge fund that was struggling itself. So they basically said that this is the reason that they went bankrupt. Now, what makes this case interesting is because Voyager is the first cryptocurrency company to file for Chapter 11. And we are going to have a really interesting time following this case to really understand what happens to customers' deposits when a cryptocurrency trading platform files for bankruptcy. Now, I don't want to be that girl, but I did call that this was an issue. If you guys follow me on social media, if you've seen any of my YouTube shorts or my TikToks, back in June, there was this article that came out about Coinbase basically saying that if you have deposits on our platform, you are a creditor. And I think most people didn't really get what that meant. I think they were just like, okay, what does that mean? And we'll talk a little bit about that in this episode. But essentially, a creditor in a bankruptcy, creditors are prioritized. So company goes bankrupt, which means that it does not have enough money to pay its debts. And the remaining funds need to be distributed among creditors in a certain priority. And according to Coinbase in this article, it essentially came out and said that if you are a customer using our platform, you are an unsecured creditor. Now, it has been years since I practiced bankruptcy law, but trust me, you don't want to be an unsecured creditor because the secured creditors come before you in the prioritization of claims. This was missed by many. And lo and behold, several weeks later, here comes Voyager with its bankruptcy filing. So the crux of this issue is really, in a bankruptcy proceeding, what happens to all of the customers' monies? How are they distributed? How are they treated? And I think what's interesting here, and this case just keeps getting better and better, because for us nerdy lawyers that are in the crypto space and we're watching these legal proceedings unroll and we're looking at filings and things, there are other issues in the background that keep cropping up. And in this crypto space, it just keeps getting better and better. You have a massive crypto trading platform that has received hundreds of millions of dollars in investment to start, right? They are publicly listed. Okay, there are some more issues there in terms of regulatory compliance. Then you have the issue that they had actually loaned about $650 million to a crypto hedge fund that has gone insolvent. Okay. Now we're starting to get to a bit more of the issues regarding what about the customers. And I think for those who listen to this podcast, it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer or not. If you're listening to this podcast and you trade cryptocurrency, if you have your monies on a Coinbase or the likes of a Voyager, you need to think about this. And I think this is why so many people in the space are saying, keep your cryptocurrency on a cold wallet. Don't leave it on the exchanges. And we'll talk a little bit about corrective actions, as they call it, at the end of this podcast. But I really think that's great advice, because everything that we're seeing in this space right now is that if you do have your cryptocurrency resting on a platform and that platform has custody over your money, you really don't have any rights because they're not banks. And let's talk a little bit about the difference between a bank and a crypto trading platform. As I mentioned earlier, Voyager is a US-based company. And for those of you that are in the US, you probably are very familiar with something called the FDIC. So the FDIC is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. They are an independent agency of the US government. They protect bank depositors, basically customers of banks, against losses. So that in the event that an FDIC-insured bank goes bankrupt, then the deposits of customers are insured. Basically, they're backed by the US government. So how does this work? Once again, not legal advice, but essentially, deposits are usually insured for up to $250,000 per depositor, per bank, per ownership category. And there's a whole list of categories in terms of ownership, but that is essentially how it works. So it's $250,000 per person, per bank, per ownership category. And you can, in your free time, you can go and look at all of these different ownership categories and become very intelligent, apparently. So essentially how this works is that if a bank goes bankrupt and it is FDIC and insured, and you have less than $250,000 in that bank, then the FDIC, the agency, would support in terms of making sure that you get your money out. So I know this is food for thought, but I think one of the arguments of crypto naysayers is that why would I hold my money in cryptocurrency? If the trading platform goes insolvent, goes bankrupt, I'm out of my money. My money's gone. At least that's what we're thinking will happen in this case, because customers are essentially unsecured creditors. This is not an FDIC-insured bank. It's interesting, and people who are for cryptocurrency might look at this case and say, yes, that's true, but you don't have to keep your money on the platform. You can always hold your money in a cold wallet and have a bit more independence and autonomy over where your cryptocurrency is stored. And I think, really, guys, it remains to be seen. I think that part of this journey in Web3 and dealing with cryptocurrencies is to have a bit of balance. And I think any financial guru out there would tell you about diversification. So hopefully nobody was throwing all of their money into this one platform on Voyager, but potentially some people did. And to make matters worse for Voyager, on top of this massive, first-of-its-kind Chapter 11 bankruptcy for a crypto trading platform. It now has issues with potentially misleading information that was on its website about its FDIC status. This is where it gets really interesting. As of today, which is July 30th, there was a cease and desist letter delivered from the U.S. Federal Reserve to Voyager because on its website, allegedly, there were claims that it was FDIC insured. According to what it said on the Voyager's website on Friday, basically said that your USD is held by our banking partner, Metropolitan Commercial Bank, which is FDIC insured. So the cash you hold with Voyager is protected. FDIC insured up to $250,000 US. Wow. So you can imagine this going through a high profile bankruptcy, having to think about whether your customers are unsecured creditors or what have you. And then you get a cease and desist letter from the Federal Reserve. And this is really for us lawyers who are out there who are super nerdy. This is like the best case ever. You got a little bit of bankruptcy, you get a little bit of regulatory compliance. And I know it's, and I know for those of you that are listening, hey, this is not fun. But this is really how we learn in Web3. This is how the entire industry is going to evolve. We're going to have lots of litigation. We're going to have lots of high-profile cases. Unfortunately, we're going to have cases that impact consumers. We are just going to have to learn and see how the U.S. courts rule in a lot of these cases because we haven't seen much action from Congress. We haven't seen many regulations that have been set in stone to really guide us. The downside is that it's going to be a lot of litigation. The upside for you Web3 attorneys that are out there is that's more work for you. You get to be involved and to work on some really sophisticated, cutting-edge legal matters. But now that I'm done laughing and making light of the seriousness of this, I just wanted to give you guys a snippet from the letter that was issued by the FDIC and the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. It is pretty serious. It says, Voyager has made various representations online, including its website, mobile app, and social media accounts, stating or suggesting that 1. Voyager itself is FDIC insured. 2. Customers who invested with the Voyager cryptocurrency platform would receive FDIC insurance coverage for all funds provided to, held by, on or with Voyager. And 3. The FDIC would insure customers against the failure of Voyager itself. These representations are false and misleading, and based on the information we have to date, it appears that the representations likely misled and were relied upon by customers who placed their funds with Voyager and do not have immediate access to their funds. Boom. Guys, this is what I'm thinking from a legal standpoint. And once again, disclaimer, I'm an attorney. I'm not your attorney. Don't rely upon any of this. But it's not just a bankruptcy case anymore. It would have been nice. It would have been cute if it were a bankruptcy case. We would have probably a year from now looked back on it and been like, oh, that was cute. Now, a larger case is being built against Voyager. It has to do with, you did this on purpose, Voyager, actually. You didn't just, oops, the market is bad. And oops, we lent $650 million to 3AC. Now, the case that is coming together is you did this on purpose. You intentionally told people that their money was secured. It is not. And they relied upon that information. And actually, the reason that they put their money with you, the reason that they used your platform, is because you said that their money was safe. You said that their money was secured up to $250,000. If I was Voyager's general counsel right now, I don't know what I would do. To be honest, I normally don't speak about those in the legal profession because we're all brothers. But this is a pretty scary situation to be in right now because it seems as though the whole world is crashing down around Voyager, and it seems as though they are potentially, maybe, being made an example of. And like I said at the beginning, the Web3 space will evolve, it will mature, but it's not going to happen without a few broken eggs. And Voyager just might be one of those broken eggs. It's actually pretty significant when you stop and you look at it and you think about it. This cease and desist letter is also requiring them that they have to immediately remove any statements, any representations, any references, it's, you know, anywhere. Just take it all down. Any of your social media accounts, any hyperlinks, any pop-ups, any chat box disclosures, take it all down. You've got a lot of work to do. And by the way, you need to do it in 2 days. So most likely by the time that you guys are listening to this podcast, it should have all been taken down. Let me know if you find some up. It would be very interesting to see. But this is not a small development in this case. And one sidebar about this is that the amount of work that's required for them to do this in 48 hours is significant. It's not a small lift. So what the cease and desist letter is telling them to do, besides take it all down within 2 days and provide us a written notice that you've done, it's also asking for a full listing of all statements regarding your FDIC insurance on any platform. So not only do you need to take it all down, you need to give us a list of any place you've ever placed this. And for those of you that have hired attorneys before, that have worked with big law before, I can tell you that the bill that Voyager is racking up in these lawsuits, or in the bankruptcy proceeding number one, but now in this new development, it's probably just ginormous. It's probably just out of this world. And it also makes me wonder what that also means for the bankruptcy proceedings. Of course, lawyers' fees, attorneys' fees, it is calculated and added to the bankruptcy plan itself. But it still just makes you wonder about the overall impact to the unsecured creditors, once again, those people who have put their money on the platform and maybe they relied heavily on these statements, maybe they didn't. But at the end of the day, they're still out of their money. And for a middle-class American who has $3,000 to $5,000 on a crypto trading platform, it means a lot to them. And that money is probably more important to them than $3,000 to $5,000 for lawyers' fees. And can you believe it actually gets a little bit more interesting? You cannot make this stuff up. So another development in the case, in bankruptcy proceedings, there's something called a white knight. And you may hear that term tossed around quite a bit. A white knight is basically someone that comes in and offers to bail out the entity that's filing for bankruptcy. So the white knight will come in and they'll say, we have capital, we're able to help you restructure, and we have a deal. And it would require you to sell us your assets and your loans and some other things. And of course, there's various considerations depending on what the deal is. But essentially, the idea of a white knight is supposed to come in and save everyone from this horrible, costly bankruptcy process. So Voyager received a quote-unquote white knight offer from FTX. FTX is owned by some crypto billionaire, Bankman-Fried, and they turned it down. They said it was a lowball offer. And it's just a lot of money that is being tossed around here. And once again, Web3 is evolving, but I really think there needs to be a bit more mindfulness on the impact to consumers, to the little guys. What do I think is next for Voyager? What do I think is down the pipe for Web3? It doesn't look good for Voyager, at least in my mind. I don't really see them coming out of this in a good way. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. But it seems as though with this new edition of a cease and desist letter from the FDIC, it's just adding to the case against them and what happened and what led up to this bankruptcy proceeding. And so I don't really see them coming out the way that they were, the way that they entered. They may come out as being bought out or restructured by a third-party entity, something like that. I really hope that the consumers that have monies that are wrapped up in the platform, that they get their money back and that they're made whole. I'm not sure if that will happen, but that is my hope. And I just hope we all learn from this. I think for Web3, there has to be a bit more ethical practice. I think when you look at the spectrum of what's legal and what's compliant and what's ethical, there are just way too many gaps, and people are taking advantage. They're taking advantage of the fact that certain regulations are not fully in place yet, and that lawmakers maybe don't really understand much about the crypto industry, and they're just using the old rules and getting what they can. And unfortunately, is what we've seen over the past few months is that when one big player goes insolvent, it impacts a lot, because these deals are just made in an echo chamber. These guys are just dealing with each other, which is a whole nother podcast about diversity and inclusivity in Web3. But I would like to say that's another argument and another reason why we need more diversity in the space. If these guys weren't just dealing with each other, we wouldn't have such a huge ripple effect in the market. And I say that to say, once again, as always, I finish my rant on the legal issues that are happening in the crypto space. I hope we're all watching and we learn from it. I hope things get better. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have some solid regulations that have come out of the US that are clear. There's also been some other developments on Coinbase. I might drop an episode on what's going on with Coinbase and insider trading allegations that have happened there. But as you can see, the US federal government is slapping people left and right. We all need to stay ethical. And when there are spaces where you're not exactly sure what to do, always choose the high road. That would be my advice for the end of this podcast. Once again, stay safe out there in those crypto streets. Talk later.